It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Alex Gold with you. Drew Nixon producing the show. Jay Binkley in for Cody today. Good to have Bink fill in. Cody will be back with me on Monday. It is a Friday, so we have a fan club Friday coming up in the 1 o'clock hour today. We're trying some new drinks. We got some new drinks in the building that we're going to try out. First time, wow. I think all three of us will be the first time we're trying a new product. Looking forward to that. We might have some special guests stopping by. I don't know. I say special guests. We might have C-Dot and Rob stopping by. Drew is working on it. Drew's having to bribe
for
them.
Again?
This is the second Friday in a row. They might be too busy, Bink, to join us.
I almost got here in time last Friday.
Yeah, you offered.
Yeah, like, you guys want to talk some draft?
Or? So we will get to draft stuff, I'm sure, during the Chiefs Red half hour, I promise. But
I promised draft.
Yeah,
basketball.
You guys wonder, like, when we asked Bink, you know, hey, man, you mind, like, so-and-so's going to be out, you know, do you want to fill in, Cody's out or I'm out or whatever? And normally it's like, I'll do it under one condition. You have to promise me a segment to talk draft. And I said, deal. I said, draft is a little over, just under a month away. I said, deal. So today I can fill you in the Chiefs Red half hour. We will talk draft, Bink, 30 minutes from now.
All right, good.
Right around 30 minutes, maybe 40.
Well, it's just, you're delivering a promise.
But Fan Club Friday, also 1 o'clock hour today. But let's get back to the Royals a little bit, and then we can work in some draft talk. Plus, the trash of the day is 20 minutes away.
And yes, text line, I did know that Sturator was a basketball official as well.
Yeah, I thought we said that in the last time. I thought we said that he used to do some college basketball
stuff. I know he
stuff.
Did, I just prefer sticking with
football. Gene's got a good gig.
I am tired of the replays in basketball, though.
We can talk about ridiculous. That later. But yes, it is absurd.
Makes me want
the final
a
few
wall.
Minutes take forever. The fouling gets bad. Like last night, the Texas Tech game went to overtime, and so like the fouls don't reset. So then every single foul in overtime is a free throw. It's a mess. Anyway, let's talk some Royals baseball. We led the show today in the 10 o'clock hour, already talking about what we saw in the balance of it being one game. But with that said, and you guys can text in or call if you want. It'd be great to hear from you guys on the text line, 913-586-7965. What actually concerns you the most? Maybe you don't think it's an overreaction if you text in something, but other than the overreaction, obvious stuff, like to me, an overreaction, my opinion only, if you're worried about Jonathan India or Cole Reagans. To me, those are overreactions. What is a concern that you actually think is a true season-long problem? And for me, I think anything about the outfield is fair game because those were the questions we already knew heading in. And they were reemphasized again in game one of 162 yesterday. Whether it's Hunter Renfroe, defensively, normally I'm not actually as concerned. Yesterday, I didn't think it was a great day at the office defensively, clearly. Then you had the base running mistake from Isbell. But offensively from Isbell, that's probably as good as you're going to get. He had the double in a nice bunt as well. That's probably what you would take every single time from Isbell. But the base running mistake was horrific. And then we know left field, they got nothing out of left field yesterday. But that was also a question and concern we already had. So to me, that still is my number one concern. I'm not worried about Angel Zerpa's one bad pitch. I'm really not. It is the same concern I had 24 hours ago. What about you, Bink?
Yeah, I'm not concerned about any of it. The only thing that kind of stood out, I guess, is just making the little mistakes the Royals don't typically make. Like that base running, the booting the ball in the outfield, kind of knowing the circumstances, knowing the field that you're with. I mean, Dayton Moore used to, put a team together that was good with the field. I mean, he took that from Atlanta as far as finding guys to kind of fit that, fit who the stadium was. But again, I think it's that. Because there's so little margin of error. Because usually the Royals will pounce on the other team's mistake. It's like in football when the Chiefs would play the Raiders, they would always find a way. And the Chiefs capitalized on this in these one-score games, find a way for another team to feel that pressure and find a way to lose. And I felt like, okay, you got the Class A. This guy, third in the Cy Young. You're doing everything you can to win, but you're not. And that was the only thing. Individual performances, don't care. India was brought in here. He's an on-base guy, and he will do that. So this could be a Tuesday in the middle of June, and no one would care what happened. But it's those little things. And again, it's not a trend. It's one game. So we'll see what happens. Again, this team was 1-3 to begin the season last year. Then all of a sudden, you had a chance to play the White Sox, and things turned themselves into a 7-game winning streak. So it's like, yeah, bring on the White Sox.
So I think that the bottom of the order, the question marks surrounding the bottom of the order, just being able to get it done, whether it's Renfroe, whether it's MJ, whoever is in the bottom half of the order, because we know that Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, Jonathan Eddie eventually we think can, carry the load that we're expecting. Like, we know they're going to do their thing. But when you look and you just see a couple of guys getting on base in general, whether it's a hit or whether it's a walk, not able to do that much, they're going to have to pick up the bargain at some point. Where you need them to just win again, like, hey, Bobby's just not able to get it done today. It just happens to be that way. Who out of that final four or five guys in the lineup can actually deliver a big-time performance when you need to, not make the mistakes like we saw with Hunter Renfroe and everything like that? And Kyle Isbell, you need to be able to overcome some of the mistakes, not have those guys making mistakes. And, that, I guess, would be a concern after – again, just one out of 162
right.
games.
913-586-7965. We'll get to your phone call in a second as well. One text coming in. Mike, issue and concern is the recurring issue from the 816 on the bases. We had base running issues last year. Seeing it come up in the first game doesn't make me feel any better about that. Yeah, that's one, like, that's the most justified, I think, in my opinion, criticism of the entire game yesterday. Like, I don't know how anybody cannot say, yeah, obviously that was a complete screw-up. And I understand that there's some context that is needed. And yes, if Blanco just keeps running towards home, then Isbell probably is fine. And we're not talking about Isbell's mistake. It's two players made mistakes in one play. And yeah, at the big league level, it cannot happen. And there were times last year where they had base running errors. What we saw yesterday was like as bad as it gets on the base paths. Though.
Yeah, we hit the opportunity to score. And you're looking at Terry, this is
nobody outrunners. Nobody outrunners on the corners, and you get nothing out of it. That's a fair one. All year, do I think we're going to see that happen? Last year, we saw some base running. It's been a while since I saw what we saw in the base pass, like that exact scenario in the big leagues. It's been a while. We're both runners are misjudging the play.
Kind of wonder who you give the advantage to, strategically. A team which starter isn't prepared to start unless he was. Mm-hmm. And this, there's always Lively in the back of his mind. He started researching the players and studying the tendencies and all that. Would it be an advantage to them, or did the Royals know what's going on? I would assume Cleveland would know more about Bobby's condition than what the Royals did. So who has the advantage in a situation like that? When you prepare for one pitcher and all of a sudden you're getting another one, that can be different. We've seen the Royals go against guys that get called up from AAA and dominate the Royals because they've never seen them before and they don't pay any attention to it. So I'm kind of wondering if that played anything at all into it, that they prepared for another pitcher and they got another one starting.
913-586-7965. All right, let's go to Betty in Ottawa. Betty, you're on with Cody and Gold. How are you doing?
Hey, gentlemen, I'm blessed. I'm so excited for this season. I'm a decades-long Royals seasonal ticket holder, and I think right now I don't have any concerns because I went to spring training. And, you know, spring training, they all get a chance. You don't see the same players play together at the same time. I think what we have to remember is it's a team sport, and those guys, they just came together. The roster is, you know, they just came together in the last few days as a who was going to be on the roster. So they have to, we have to give them some grace, in my opinion, to gel as a team. Because that's so important. And so I guess if I had a concern, because the crowd was so great yesterday.
It was a fun atmosphere.
My concern is that the fans will get discouraged, right? So don't get discouraged. Let's get out there. They need our energy. I think we've all heard Bobby Witt say that he loves, and the rest of the players, but he seems to be, you know, a really key voice that says they need the fans. And I think that we need to realize they need us. They need our energy. That crowd yesterday was amazing. I loved it. It was so energetic. And they think, isn't there a sport they said like the 12th player is the fans? Is that football?
Yeah, 12th man. Yeah. You're good. Yeah.
A&M in Seattle.
So, yeah, there you go. So we are that extra man to give to be on the Royals team, and I think they realize that I want us to, as a fan base, to continue to just cheer loud and proud like we did yesterday. It was so amazing.
Thanks for the call, Betty. No, I'm with you. Yeah, no, I appreciate the call. I'm with you on the crowd. The crowd was awesome. It was a beautiful day in Kansas City. Didn't get the result at the end, obviously, everybody wanted, but from just vibes at the ballpark bank, it was a great day. And I think that's where, you know, to start the show, I said, look, I think from a fan perspective, years past, it was like, man, if they get to 0-3, you're going to have a lot of fans that are going to check out. I don't think that should be the case. If this team were to lose another one this weekend or get swept this weekend, nobody wants that, right? Like nobody wants to start 0-2 or 0-3 or anything like that. But I think because of who's on this roster and how many of them got playoff experience, how many of them have tasted winning, you're not part of a clubhouse now, frankly, that is full of a bunch of, and I'm talking about losing games, a bunch of losers, right? They've won, right? And so that is not the same concern, I think, even as a fan base you should have if they got off to a bad start this season. Nobody wants to get off to that, but that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, the roster, though, as far as gelling, I'll push back on that a little bit, though. This is, other than Jonathan India and a few bullpen arms, I mean, it's the same.
And it's the same roster. Together. You know, yeah. Cleveland was dealing with the same thing. I mean, it's the same situation. Yeah. These guys are professionals, so they got to be able to go out there and perform. And it's what you expect. So I'm not expecting that. As far as fans, I think last year, the big issue was getting the fans to buy in. Like getting the fans to buy in. That's why the attendance was down at certain times because people were just kind of waiting and wondering when is the other shoe going to drop. Saw it a lot in 13 and then 14 to some extent until, boom, they get there. They show they can go to Game 7 of the World Series and just sweep their way all the way till they get to the Giants in the World Series. And then 15, they had the confidence. And they carried that over in 16 and 17. People bought into the team. But I think now it's about just keeping the fans. And I think by making the postseason, that's kept the fans. And I think they'll stay along with the Royals, too, because they know it's possible. Because they saw it happen. 2 years ago, they had 106 losses. And so they go, is this team ever going to win again? Then they do, so they prove they can do it. So it's kind of like, show me, state, hey, show me. Well, they did. They went out and they proved they can go to the postseason. I also think the availability with the streaming options now being more easier.
Oh, yeah, let me ask you, I was at the game. How was the – so hopefully you're listening on 96.5 The Fan, but if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, Kansas City, I believe is what it's called.
It's on a lot of the major cable networks.
How was it? Take it. It went well because I didn't have a lot of people.
There
wasn't have a lot of people texting me.
No, there wasn't
tweets because last year. Okay,
but
good.
Streaming, good. You can use the app. It's on a lot of the major cable systems. Like Spectrum's got it right there where Bally's was.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I know, I have the app. Games, I was just curious how
there wasn't, problems with it. And you get the Amazon Prime thing, too, now, where people can watch it. There's more ways to watch the product. And I think that was always kind of a Royals way, because when you're losing 100 games and you're not having your product on television easily all the time, but when it becomes easier to watch and you made the postseason, these things grab the fans. But I think that culmination of the losses and not having a good TV product hurt the Royals the last couple of years. I think that's completely like changed now.
It's like one of those no news is good news sorts of things where, you know, we're not getting tagged or, you know, you're not getting tweeted at gold. Nobody's complaining. It seems like everything seemed to be at least fine.
Yeah, I was just curious because
I have the game.
I was at the game, so I didn't watch it on TV yesterday, but tomorrow I probably won't be out there, so I'll watch. And I was just curious, and it's a good sign that nobody was. I didn't see tweets or anything about it or whatever. No, so
one
I'm
of my favorite things is like when I'm doing nights or whatever, getting all the text complaining about not this year, but the previous years complaining about the TV product. And like we're a TV station or a radio station.
Oh,
you're not texting Wendy's about your problem at McDonald's, are you? I mean, they don't care.
Yeah, like, but like, you know, that this TV streaming stuff has been a topic of conversation for many years.
But
I was just curious.
Don't blame me that they were having all these glimpses because this is a radio station. Man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not IT support, but I'm just curious. It's a good sign. Normally, I can tell you, like last year, we had people texting in immediately complaining about it, and I haven't seen the text. So that's a good sign.
Well, and if you're watching it, we also ingrain ourselves in the product too. Like you can listen to the Chiefs games here, but if you're also watching it and you can't, you literally cannot watch a game because the broadcast is messed up. It's going to be a problem for people regardless.
Thinking of broadcast, thinking of streaming games, you were interested in some comments that Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, had. We all know by now, maybe about the ESPN deal getting ended a little bit early, cut short for Sunday Night Baseball. Major League Baseball decided to opt out of that, you know, and Rob Manfred was not happy with basically the coverage that baseball was getting compared to other sports on ESPN. Whether it was Sunday Night Baseball, whether it was not being on SportsCenter as much as other sports or the morning debate shows and all that. So they said, hey, let's see if we can go get a better deal somewhere else.
Which is really weird when you're thinking about something so big as Major League Baseball and a product that ESPN had marketed, hey, Sunday Night Baseball. That's the thing. Well, you know, maybe the years of having the Cardinals on all the time and the Cubs on all the time and the Dodgers, maybe it started to not resonate with the fans as much as far as those marquee matchups and, you know, the baseball tonight, you know, and being pulled off and not doing it as much. And then the highlights not being shown till the end, not in the beginning like you get. Like a lot of the NBA highlights are right there, boom. As soon as SportsCenter starts, you get those, which is interesting to me because the ratings aren't even as good as baseball when that comes into it. But when Manfred said, quote, we actually created a round of playoffs because they wanted playoff baseball and we didn't have anything else to give them. That was very successful. When he said that, I perked up and said, okay, so you didn't exactly 100% do it for your sport. You did it also to appease your television partner. Well, that sounds like a little bit they're not respecting you. He was on with Chris Mad Dog Russo, who is on ESPN as well as Sirius XM. And so I thought it was interesting because he had someone that works at the four-letter network right there he's talking to. And you don't hear commissioners kind of say they've been disrespected by a league before, but here's Rob Manfred on opening day with Chris.
There was a level of dissatisfaction on our part. It started, you know, with the end of baseball tonight. I think if you watch ESPN, and I do, you know, where we appear on SportsCenter in the morning. There were issues.
Hey, I can answer that better than anybody. We only did one segment today on opening day, Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
So if anybody can mention it, you're talking to me.
Yeah. And, you know, look, there's a level of dissatisfaction with that. Having said that, you know, did we want to be partners with him? Yes. But, you know, taking less money.
Not going to happen.
And look, I'll say this publicly because I said it to them. You know, they stepped up for the NBA. They stepped up for football, you know, stepped up for this one. And to come back to us and say, you know, we want to cut you.
That's a good point, Rob. So you felt hurt.
Yeah.
You felt hurt. To be fair, the sport felt hurt.
Yeah. We felt like we were being treated in a way.
Disrespectfully.
Yeah. I mean, particularly given it, if you listen to their own rhetoric when they were marketing baseball, you know, we were up for them. Last year, we are up on 18 to 34s. We deliver a nice Hispanic audience. We do a great job in terms of gender breakdown. So,
yeah, you don't hear commissioners, you know, speak like that when it comes to an entity like ESPN. You don't do it. And I think that's the problem.
I think it's fair points that he's brought up, though.
He brought up fair points to him. Can
they get a better deal elsewhere? And that's the question. Because I think we've all, if anybody, you know, there's a lot of you that.
I don't know if they can.
A lot of you listen that, and I think all of us in general, unless it's a live sporting event, we probably do. I think I speak for the majority because the numbers show it. I watch less ESPN than I used to for a variety of reasons, right?
Yeah.
Now, totally. For live sporting events, I'm still watching Monday Night Football or whatever. Here. But in general, like Scott Van Pelt, SportsCenter, I'll watch. To me, he's incredible at what he does. Other than that, I really don't watch SportsCenter that much anymore. But Scott Van Pelt is great. So I don't consume it as much either. I think a lot of fans don't consume as much as they did. And so if you're baseball, even on the 10 o'clock SportsCenter, if Major League Baseball is not getting as much attention, NFL is king and all that, that is the reality. Can you get a better deal elsewhere? I think the only way you can is if you divvy it up. Like, I don't think we're going to see Sunday Night Baseball only on, I'll just use, like, Turner Sports. I think MLB, Sunday Night Baseball, you know, they already have some Friday night games on Apple TV. So will some of their product be on Apple TV? Can some of it eventually be on Netflix? I'm just using that as an example. Can some of it be on Hulu? Can some of it be on NBC, you know, that kind of stuff is probably where they're going to have to piece it together.
Or
I don't think they're
going to more with Amazon.
I don't think they're going to find, yeah, maybe Amazon. I don't know if they're going to find one broadcast partner that's going to do everything they want the way ESPN used to do.
I think it makes sense for them to utilize maybe Fox a little bit more too, because it seems like they've got a good relationship, obviously, with the World Series and just the way that they do things with the All-Star Game. I don't know how much their debate shows, if you will, their daily, you know, programming from 9 to 6 or whatever the case is talks about Major League Baseball. But if you want to go where you feel welcomed, I get it. But to your guys' point, in the end, it's a business and you need to make the most money, obviously. So the owners are happy and everything that goes along there. And it's hard because I think they'd be welcomed in other places, but they're not going to be able to give you as much money as, you know, places like ESPN are obviously going to give, because they've got the financial capabilities, whether they talk about it on First Take, like Russo, like Mad Dog was talking about, or not.
It's weird because the NBA they still have NBA Tonight. They still have NBA shows. I mean, you know, they don't have baseball tonight. You know, you pulled that back. It's just really weird.
They don't have it at all.
The NBA ratings.
I don't think it's on, except for playoff time, maybe.
The NBA ratings are not good, but yet they put a lot of money into
that's
the
been
sport.
Misconstrued a little bit, but yes.
But yeah, they do the highlights and everything else, and they talk about the NBA. You watch First Take and all this, guess what they're talking about right away? They're talking about the NBA. They're not talking
Lakers.
About Otani and the Dodgers and everything else. They're talking about LeBron or Stephen A. Smith and, you know, the rift between them. But they spend a lot of time talking about something that doesn't exactly resonate with America.
So Major League Baseball in a couple of years also, and a lot of these individual teams are going to have their local broadcast rights up to ultimately the part
and
of
it's
this
so regionalized.
Yeah, that's a huge issue with this anyway, to begin with. But I thought those comments were interesting from Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, as well.
Trash of the day.
All right, Bink, let's get to it. Now, I contemplated doing this one or not because it's a little dark. So it's a little dark, but it is somewhat local, as in it happened in the state of Kansas. A lot of you probably saw the story. This is really scary. But it is the trash of the day today.
I'd never heard of this until you brought
it up. You hadn't heard
it?
Okay.
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
So this comes from the Associated Press. This occurred in Barden County, okay, in Kansas. A babysitter was looking after a kid. And, of course, the kid goes up to the babysitter and says, hey, there's a monster hiding under my bed. Like, we've heard and we all, like, right, there's, oh, it's going to be fine. So she says, I'll go check. I'm sure it's fine. The babysitter looks under the bed to reassure the child that there wasn't a monster hiding. When the babysitter looks under the bed, she comes face to face with a man who wasn't supposed to be there, obviously.
Whoa.
According to a sheriff's office, 27-year-old ended up getting booked into jail this week after a struggle with the babysitter that knocked the child to the ground as well.
What?
Deputies were called late Monday to the home near Great Bend. Suspect was gone when they arrived. Babysitter told him that the child had been complaining about a monster before she found the suspect. The man once lived in the home, but there was a protection from abuse order issued against him to stay away from the property. This is obviously very, very scary. Thank goodness nobody was hurt in this.
Yeah.
They ended up getting this guy, obviously, and his bond, I think, is like $500,000, as it should be. But think about that. You're the baby. Think, I mean, everybody involved, but you're the babysitter, because the poor child is going to have this memory for a while. But the babysitter You're just watching this kid, probably neighbor's kid or something. Who knows?
He's
family friend,
kid,
family
yeah.
friend or whatever. Yeah, I don't know how old the babysitter was. I'm not sure. And you're like, oh, monster under the bed. You're thinking it's just like a very lighthearted thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go under there. And there's a man under the bed.
Oh.
Talk about having a heart attack. Talk about having a heart attack.
She's going to be having some. Oh. She's going to be thinking
she
about
also
that.
Also going to have
yeah,
some.
That's crazy.
That's, yeah. I almost didn't do it for Trash of the Day because it's a little dark considering, but everybody's... You know, everybody's
he's
physically all right. I'm not sure on
it's
the mental side
in case
of it.
Somebody said their kid says either
because you've all you,
bed,
like you when you were it. Little or you had think you have kids. You remember like
yeah.
oh, there's somebody a monster in the closet or a monster
yeah,
in the
yeah,
bed.
Yeah,
we've
sure.
all been there. We all know that. And there was actually a freaking dude under the bed.
Yeah,
that's messed up. That's messed up.
Yeah, that did not happen. Although one of the Alexas went off yesterday upstairs
what?
With loud music. I don't know why. Nobody was there.
You said, "Hey Alexa."
Nope. Didn't do any of it. All of a sudden, music starts blaring from this Alexa. It wasn't up there. Was it a ghost? I don't know. Explain to me how the hell the thing turned on.
All I know
I
is
know.
There was
just did.
This morning in our building, across the hall, there's one of our recording studios, right? Sometimes
yeah.
we go there if we have to record an interview or record a commercial or something. And so I'm in the back, for you guys, our audience won't know, but the back left studio, right? Okay.
Yes.
And I go back there, it's like 8:45, and in the ceiling, I hear noises.
Ugh.
And not like, oh, the AC is just making a weird
like
noise.
Like neighbors? No?
No, not like,
okay,
no, no, that'd be really weird at the workplace,
Drew.
And the workplace, that'd be a big problem.
I'm just making sure.
Yeah. And
good.
I'm like, what is, and we've had this happen before.
Yep.
There's a squirrel or a bird in the ceiling of our, in our studio. Not our studio, but our recording studio. That and it's happened before. I told Speck about it, but it sounded like there was something ruffling inside the crawl space of our back left studio. You guys know we used to have a squirrel in the roof, right?
Yeah,
I remember.
In a ceiling. Well, Drew, I don't know if you were here.
I don't know. What I was going to say I don't. Remember
Drew used to eat them, but he heard they're hiding cholesterol.
Squirrel? I've never
just
had
kidding.
Squirrel
it's from Christmas Vacation by Cousin Eddie. Steve
oh, yeah.
but he heard they're hiding cholesterol.
I've
they were like squirrel. They're all running squirrels like stuck to them.
I wasn't raised in that kind of household where squirrel was a regular thing.
You know they have these websites where you can buy
cousins of mine. Yeah,
you can buy some obscure meat. You can buy gator. You can buy ostrich.
Wow.
It's readily online. You can do it. But any kind of bizarre, you know, animals.
Have you had that?
No, I've never had ostrich.
Sounds like you thought about it.
Or yak. Or llama.
It sounds like you've at least gone on the website.
Llama.
I've been on the website.
Yeah.
I've been on the website, but I've never partaken in it.
Huh. Last text I'll read before we go to break. It says the other day their wife and them got done doing it after they finished.
Doing what?
You can put two and two together, Bank. After they finished, Alexa randomly played Marvin Gaye. Who the hell was watching
wow.
us? That's from the 816.
What are you guys doing?
Clearly Alexa was listening.
What are they doing?
I'm not sure, Bank. You tell me.
What are they doing, Drew? Bank. I don't know. They said, what are they doing?
Chewing it and doing it.
Doing what? Watching TV, eating dinner? What are they doing?
Drew told you right there. Sometimes they play music all the time remotely on their Alexa to get their wife's attention when she's not answering her phone.
It's always funny because a lot of people are listening through their Alexas.
Yeah, don't say you're going to activate everybody's.
I know. It activates everything. Alexa, fart.
All right.
That's Bink's favorite one. I don't know why. Bink says he'll just sit at home if he's bored in the afternoon when there's not draft stuff to talk about, and he will just say and listen to fart noises from his Alexa.
Yeah.
We've had this discussion before.
A lot of fun.
Thinking of the draft. Up
you
next,
play Jeopardy, too.
Chiefs Red Half Hour. I'm sure we'll talk some draft, but I want to talk about the pressure of quarterbacks entering 2025 and see if we agree with a couple of these mentioned. I think they're missing one quarterback. I'll tell you why next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. I do want to pivot for about a half second. Some breaking news in the sports world. I know we don't talk NBA really in Kansas City, but this was bizarre. During the break, saw that the Memphis Grizzlies have dismissed their coach. It's March 28th. It's the back half of the season.
Like
the playoffs
in the West.
Like the playoffs are a month away. Okay. The playoffs start in about a month. And their head coach, Taylor Jenkins, just got fired. The Memphis Grizzlies are 14 games above 500. So unless we're about to get some story about something this guy did, Drew and I were talking during the break, maybe, you know, did all of a sudden Ja Morant not get along? It doesn't make any sense. Like, is this the Boston Celtics, what's his name thing all over again? Was there something behind the scenes? Like, this is pretty stunning. I know I don't expect anybody to care about the Memphis Grizzlies. I just thought in sports, it's still pretty stunning if a coach that's of a team that's 14 games above 500,
it makes
gets
no
fired
sense.
This late in the year. Yeah. So we're either about to find out, unfortunately, there's some legal issue, or I guess Ja Morant really, really didn't like him.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck's going on?
It's got to be something like that.
I don't know if he was always the head coach, but he was with the team for six seasons.
Yeah, I was going to say he led them on the run that they went to, I believe it was the Western Conference Finals, or they at least made it to semifinal at least, and then they had some health-related issues, but it makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but like that was kind of a stunner during...
It'd be like I don't know what's the football comparison of this. It'd be like...
2 weeks into the season. Firing an NFL head coach. Well, not 2 weeks in,
okay.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
maybe I've got it, because they had a lot of success and they had some injury issues a lot last year and they struggled. It'd be like if the Niners fired Kyle Shanahan and they were like 8-5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I don't know if that's fair. That's a fair comp, but it doesn't
bizarre.
Make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the Grizzlies, I was looking at their schedule real quick. They've lost four of their last five, all by double digits, so they haven't looked good. But also, again, they're still 13, 14 or so games, maybe even 15, actually, games above 500.
Maybe the Lakers should fire J.J. Redick, too, because they just lost to the Bulls last night when things fell apart and they lost by double digits in the other games.
So I'm not sure. Jeez. Yeah, well, we can talk some Chiefs. We got Jay Binkley filling in for Cody today, so I didn't want to spend too much time. Bink, but we were talking about the NBA coach for the Grizzlies just got fired. They're 15 games or whatever above 500. And it makes no sense.
It's the NHL, NBA. They'll fire him. The key card won't work when you walk in.
I guess so. Taylor Jenkins out as the Memphis Grizzlies head coach. All right, let's talk some Chiefs, though, because the folks over at CBS Sports were looking at the quarterbacks. Jeff Kerr was the writer. He said, hey, these are the five quarterbacks he thinks are under the most pressure. I know it's only March, but under the most pressure heading in to win a Super Bowl. That's why Mahomes wasn't on the list, because the qualification was quarterbacks that have not won a ring. But I'll tell you what his answer was, and then I want to take the Super Bowl part of it out for a second, because he said quarterback with the most pressure to win a Super Bowl next season. Number one, no surprise, Josh Allen. I have no issue with that answer. I would agree. Number two, Lamar.
I don't agree with that.
Okay, we can get So number two, Lamar. Number three, Dak Prescott. That's bizarre to me. I guess Dallas always has pressure. Number four was Jared Goff. And number five was Drew's guy, Joe Burrow.
This is under the most pressure?
Under the most pressure to win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
So we can start with that, and then I want to take away the Super Bowl tag. Because, for starters, to win a Super Bowl next year, I think Lamar and Josh Allen absolutely are at the top of the list of guys that have not won a ring. Quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl next year, most pressure? Of course.
I mean,
how is it not Josh Allen number one and Lamar number two? I'd actually have Joe Burrow higher than that. I'd have Joe Burrow number three, maybe even number two.
I think it's Lamar number one because you're three-time MVP. I know Josh Allen just got this, but he's won three. It's kind of like, what do you do in the postseason? You know, Josh Allen, you know, has been making, at least he does win some playoff games from time to time. I know Lamar has won, what, two now at this point? But Lamar Jackson's won MVP. I mean, people are primed saying that's the Super Bowl team right there, the Baltimore Ravens. I'd put Jackson one, Allen, and Burrow tied for two and three. It'd be those three right there. It'd be Allen, Burrow, and then, of course, leading the way would be Lamar Jackson. I would take Dak Prescott out because I don't think anybody gives a rat's, you know what, about Dak Prescott. I'd put Justin Herbert in there. I think Justin Herbert has to feel under pressure at some point because he never gets there.
He has pressure to get to an AFC title game. Like, I think, forget the Super Bowl, Bank. I think he's just got to make it to a title game.
Justin Herbert completely has pressure. Chargers, every year, people are predicting him to do things. Just like this year,
they're
predicting him to win the division. Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, you know, finally won a playoff game. People had expectations of him. Jared Goff, don't care about him.
It's weird how we view him. I'm with you. Like, his name does not come to mind at the first three, four, five guys that have pressure to win a ring. It's because how at least I, and it sounds like you do, view Jared Goff. Like, he's had some great years in Detroit recently, but none of us put him in the same category as Lamar and Burrow and Allen. And so if you're not a top five quarterback in the league, and maybe you think he is, I don't believe Goff is, even though he's put up some stats that would push that conversation forward. if you're not a top five or so quarterback in the league, and the other guys are, it's hard for me to feel like you have so much pressure to win a ring. Dak Prescott, look, it's the Cowboys, so I guess there's pressure every year, but almost in a weird way, by now I think people realize it's not even Dak. It's the ownership is such a joke and everything. What do you expect? I mean, they went and went from McCarthy to I even already forgot his name. Brian Schottenheimer. Yeah.
So the reason why I think Goff, I don't know if he belongs on this list at all, period. I would say it makes sense why he's on the list. I don't think he has more pressure than Joe Burrow, but I don't mind him on this list. I can agree with it because I think it's more about how good the Lions actually are. Like, hey, Jared, this is your chance to go in and do the thing. You know, you are under pressure to go and win it because this is a roster that is built to win right now. And it wouldn't matter whether it's Jared Goff. If Baker Mayfield was the quarterback of the Lions, pressure would be on Baker Mayfield to go and get the job done. In my mind, it's more of a roster thing than it is Jared Goff is that good of a quarterback where he's got to win one. I think he can take advantage of it, where I think, you know, Purdy, there was a, if they, like, going into this past season, if you're, say, pressure on quarterbacks to maybe win a Super Bowl, I don't know if it would be fair to have Brock Purdy in there, but I think because the roster has been so good for Brock Purdy, and who knows where it goes now, because all the changes that they're making, but there might have been more pressure than we might have not mentioned on Brock Purdy over the last couple of years to win one than others, just because of the team surrounding them, not necessarily the quarterback. Because I agree with you guys, it's Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson in that three.
What you're saying,
they're there.
What you're saying about Jared Goff, though, and the roster around him, I'm not saying we never do this with quarterbacks, but didn't that mean it's what you're describing to me would be the case for why Dan Campbell has pressure now?
Sure, but if it's just a quarterback pressure thing, then maybe we don't include Jared. I mean, I think everybody's kind of encompassed into the exact same equation where, Josh Allen's got some pressure, but so does Sean McDermott, because they've given him chance after chance after chance, and they're still giving him chances.
But he's got an MVP now, so the bar gets raised even more.
Sure. Here's the thing about Burrow.
I think the same thing about Zach Taylor and the Bengals. I think they're kind of paired together in a way where Dan Campbell, just as much as Jared Goff, there's pressure on them to get the job done, and Jared Goff is a part of them actually. Jared Goff's going to be the reason that they win the whole thing because the roster is good enough. He just has to get them there.
Because you don't want the window to close. Frisco, that window closed because you were essentially...
Had a hell of a run. The Chiefs.
When the Chiefs played the Niners in the Super Bowl, they built their teams completely opposite. The Chiefs were paying their quarterback the highest amount of money that ever won a Super Bowl quarterback won with the cap. They're paying seventh round money at that point with Brock Purdy in the Super Bowl so he could pay everybody else. And now they're starting to jettison all these players because guess what? That window closed. Joe Burrow's 5-2 in the postseason. Josh Allen, he's 7-6. So he's won at least seven postseason games. Lamar Jackson, the three MVPs, the team that's had the number one seed before, he's 3-5. To me, that's pressure. Justin Herbert's 0-2, and he's been basically starting since 2020.
He's got pressure.
We're going to 2025 now.
I'll use my same argument against Jared Goff for why I don't know if I agree that Herbert's in there. The same thing. I don't think we view Herbert, at least I don't anymore, view Herbert in that same category of the other names that we just mentioned. And
everybody
Allen and Lamar. Like, does everybody?
Is it time to take him out of the list? He's been in the top. He's been in the top of people are talking about.
I've defended Herbert for multiple years. I think from a physical standpoint, from a physical standpoint, everything's there.
Yeah.
But he is no longer, there's no argument to be made anymore that he is in the same conversation. Some of you say you never had him in there. That's fine. But he's not, because he hasn't had any playoff success as well. Until he does, he cannot be looped in with the names we just mentioned, even if he has the physical traits. Because otherwise, I would say Trevor Lawrence is Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence are no different than each other. Honestly, if we're going to do
Trevor Lawrence has a playoff win over Justin Herbert.
But I want to take it away from just the rings for a second, because again, this article is the top five quarterbacks under the most pressure to win a Super Bowl. Take the Super Bowl part out of it, just the most pressure. Then I actually think you could put Patrick Mahomes inside the top five if we say to win it, to take the Super Bowl part of it out, because of how nationally people are talking about this football team and specifically Patrick Mahomes. Because everything that happened, they got their ass kicked in the Super Bowl, and everybody suddenly thinks that there's a huge problem now in the organization, which is stupid. But that's the narrative that's out there, right? Like, oh my gosh, the dynasty is over. People forget they won 15 games. They think they're just now going to be crap. At least that's how nationally people discuss them. And so I think Patrick Mahomes, in the different context of the article, but most pressure next year, I think he actually is top five because people are doubting whether or not he can get back.
I disagree with that. He's won 17 postseason games.
I understand. I think it's crazy, but
that's the second most ever. Only Tom Brady has won more postseason games than Patrick Mahomes. He passed Joe Montana this year. They were tied at 16. He's now at 17. He stands alone. It's Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. He's a made man. He's won three Super Bowls.
Right, but it's not in Kansas City. I'm with you. Don't have to convince me.
I'm just saying other people. Yeah. Because they're not looking at the big picture of things. They're not looking that maybe he's the offensive line or that Buccaneers Super Bowl. Mahomes is running backwards 90% of the time. Who are the receivers? He went through the season basically without the number one and two receiver on this team in Hollywood Brown and Rasheed Rice and still got there. So the smart people watching football are saying, okay, look at what this team had and look at what he did.
I'm with you.
But he's won 17 postseason games. I'm looking at Justin Herbert. He's been a starter since 2020. He's 0-2 in the postseason. That, to me, is pressure to do something. Lamar Jackson, I think, takes the cake. You win three MVPs. And you've got as many MVPs as you do playoff wins. I mean, 3-3. That's not a good mixture for Lamar Jackson. Joe Burrow's 5-2. He's proved once he gets to the postseason, he's dangerous. But he's got to get to the postseason. I mean, the playoffs is not good.
That sound. We'll get back to that topic, by the way. That sounds means another mock draft has just been released. This was the
Bink.
This is his time because he said, if I'm filling in today for Cody. He said, we got to talk draft. We got to talk mock draft. Now, this is not Bink's latest mock, correct?
No, it is not. This is a new one from our guy, Matt Miller. He had a little bit of a hiatus. He hadn't had a mock come out in a couple of months, so I think we know why. Seven rounds from Matt Miller goes not round one, not round two, but three rounds of descriptions for all of the picks. I mean, he dug deep for this mock draft. Matt Miller of ESPN, by the way, we had him on the show a few weeks ago.
Miller did awesome. Three rounds of basically putting all the prospects out there. Fourth round of stuff, he started putting the name, but he put bios by everybody.
Very good stuff. So we're going to run through all of them if you want to, or we can just
Let's go round one a little bit.
All right, round one. Mykel Williams, edge rusher from Georgia. This is a pick that is a new name for the Chiefs, a guy that, according to what Matt, not necessarily said, but to Matt's mock, has slipped down further than he has really in any of the other mocks that we've seen. We've seen Mykel go anywhere from like 15 all the way to like 20, somewhere in that range. Slipping to 31, a little bit of a surprise, but that's what he's got.
The comp for him on NFL Network, Lance Erline, is Gregory Russo, who's been an okay player in Buffalo. I would say he's been somewhat disappointing. He got a huge deal, though, I think overpaid here in Buffalo recently. They list out, Bink. We love to have fun with the strengths and weaknesses because some of the terminology is absurd. Somebody once mentioned the meaty hands and stuff like it's
girth.
Placement.
This one for Mike, and you're right. Mykel Williams is a new name. This is not a player we've talked about, so that's actually good that he has a different name.
He's been in the top.
More than 30% of his career tackles resulted in a loss. Covers ground quickly. Backside pursuit. Range and quickness to spill and chase. Explodes out of stance and into blocks with force. What do you think of this guy, Bank?
I like Mykel. I mean, he's been looked upon a lot of people 9th, 10th. I mean, CBS, I think, had him like 15th. Something like that. Pro Football Network had him up early, too. But Mykel Williams is a guy that a lot of people were looking at early on. And the one thing I like about Miller, he stays with people. Like, he just doesn't give up. Like the Luther Burden thing. You know, like people are giving up. Like, he stays true to the player and doesn't listen to a lot of the nonsense.
Do you want to hear the description a little bit from Matt Miller? So he says, the Chiefs took care of their most glaring roster need by signing left tackle Jalen Moore. They should use this to build the overall talent and depth on their roster. Williams has moments of greatness, but also tends to disappear. Slowed with an ankle injury a little bit, but also showed toughness and glimpses of his ceiling. He's got a high ceiling, but the Chiefs are going to have to develop him, and the Chiefs have a good track record of doing so.
Positionally,
people look at his pass rush. They say that the skills are kind of underdeveloped getting to the quarterback. They should have better numbers than he does. I like the position, though, because I want Nick Scorton from A&M in the same spot, going edge rusher as well.
Positionally, I love it. No problem
makes
with
a lot
that.
Of sense.
no problem. The reasoning makes sense, yeah, and much better than some other mocks we've had that have been taking some offensive linemen. I know that's still in play. I just wouldn't go there. So, yeah, from a positional perspective, you're going to find a hard time convincing me that it's not a smart pick. Player-wise, it is a new name. This is not one, so that's what's kind of fun, as I said. This is a name we haven't really talked about.
Played at Georgia as well.
Not familiar with him, but Georgia, of course, has an unbelievable track record. The weaknesses listed for him, needs to improve base strength, upper body power, can be stalled by strong hands, pass rush approach, underdeveloped, which is what you were saying, Bink.
All right, so you want to move to the second round?
Yeah, round two.
Pick 63, offensive tackle Charles Grant from William and Mary. Matt Moore says, signing Moore shouldn't be the Chiefs' last move at offensive tackle, given their inconsistency of returning players of what they showed a year ago. He's an amazing mover at tackle with fluid and quick feet and the length to make an impact on the left side of the line, but needs some development. Second round pick, I feel like this is in the range of you need to address the position maybe more, bring in a guy that actually is built for this position that you can actually have sit behind Jalen Moore.
What do you know about William and Mary, Bink? What do we know about William and Mary?
Texas line likes this tackle from William and Mary. I've seen this several times. Yeah, this is an interesting deal. I think it's a little too early to get somebody, you know, from a college like William and Mary, because you have to be skeptical sometimes, even like a Kingsley last year, played at least BYU, to come in here and play. So I think that's a project that you'd look for down the line. Not exactly helping you right away.
Yeah, the
that gets too early.
Positionally, I think we've been consistent on this show, which is I got no issue if they draft a tackle in the draft. Prefer it not being the first round, but if they spend a tackle pick on the first three rounds, this happens to be their first third round pick or whatever, then I'm fine with that. Or you know that
second round pick.
I'm sorry. Then I'm fine with that if they spend it, whether it's second round or third round. I would prefer it not be the first because yeah, they don't have a long term right tackle solution, and then we know they don't have a long term left tackle. We think Jalen Moore has a high ceiling, right? There's a chance he proves that he can end up being a long-term answer, but yeah, okay.
We're going to stay on the southeastern side of the country for the first third-round pick that the Chiefs have picked, 66. Matt Miller's got him taking Joshua Farmer, defensive tackle from Florida.
So two defensive players
from
here.
Florida State. According to Matt Miller, again, his description, it's been a revolving door next to Chris Jones. Farmer's ability as a one technique is a dream fit next to the Hall of Famer.
I like Joshua Farmer a lot. He was in the first character concerns draft as well. We had Joshua Farmer from because the interior defensive line. Again, when you look at the ratings on these NFL draft prospects, you know, defensive line and edge are considered one and two. And then running backs right there as far as boom, boom, boom. That's where you're going to get the most depth. You can get quality players at that point. But I like Joshua Farmer a lot. I think it'd be a good fit for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's why we mocked him to Kansas City. By the way,
Do you have him in your second one or no?
We haven't done that yet. We'll do that this week.
This week, the new one coming out.
Yeah, we got to do
next week.
By the way, I said Lamar Jackson had three MVPs. I meant two. I mean, he's three-time All-Pro. He was first-team All-Pro this year.
That was a controversy.
Because usually they win the MVP.
Media felt bad for Josh Allen and made sure he got an MVP.
Yeah, it's a sympathy.
That's right.
Second, third-round pick that the Chiefs have picked, 95. Matt Miller's got him taking Noel Williams, cornerback from Cali. He says that it's interesting. This is all post Christian Fulton. He says the lack of a true cornerback two opposite of Trent McDuffie was obvious during the Chiefs' defensive struggles last season. Williams' toughness and instincts would get him into the starting lineup in week one.
They always are going to draft a corner at some point. I don't know what round it is. They will be drafting a corner in this year's draft. Yes, Christian Fulton is nice, but they don't have a lot of these guys under contract, Bink.
He's a bigger dude. Is 40, Noel Williams, 40 was, you know, 4'5". Obviously, it's okay, but you look like your, you know, corners maybe be a tad faster. And he's tall, 6 foot, at least on that respect. But yeah, I think they'll go corner as well. But I think you're going Jalen Watson, and you're going to go Fulton.
But guys like Watson,
Nickel, you're going to move McDuffie.
Watson, you know, Josh Williams, some of these guys are all, their contract's up at the end of the year. So right now, Christian Fulton and Trent McDuffie are some of the only guys in the secondary that are, you know, corner-wise that are under contract after this year. So
this
it makes sense.
He's got like 14 career interceptions. So okay. I can see he's a ball hawk. So I can understand why.
I like hearing that. All right. We'll run through these last couple rounds fairly quick.
I was going to say the round four pick, then we got three seventh rounders. The fourth round pick is Bashaal Tootin, running back from Virginia Tech. We've seen this guy before.
Come up a few times.
Blazing fast.
A lot of speed for his size. He is a quick. Quick player. Again, he's like 5'8", 205-ish pounds, I think, Bink, is about what he is.
Yeah.
And then he ran a 4.3 40 at the combine, so very, very good. Real quick, before we get to Tootin, round seven picks. Ketan Crawford, safety from Nevada, Daniel Jackson, wide receiver from Minnesota, and then Mr. Irrelevant, Nazir Stackhouse, defensive tackle from Georgia, whose name has come up on the show with mock drafts.
Yeah, that is a popular name.
We had Nazir as Mr. Irrelevant for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Georgia. So we got two from that.
Predicting Mr. Irrelevant is wild. Like, really wild.
If you do get the pick right, Bink, I will say that between you and Chris, that's very impressive. If they take him
at Mr. Irrelevant spot. Like, if they don't trade that last pick and the last
at
pick
257?
At 257.
That's a tough one to trade,
they're
going to make that pick.
Do you think they're keeping it?
They'll keep it.
The last one was Ryan Succop, right?
They'll keep it, yeah.
For the Chiefs.
Yeah, it turned out okay.
Who was last year's Mr. Irrelevant, Bink?
Last year
he was irrelevant. Nobody knows.
2 years ago was the Rams edge that actually had some sacks. It actually made the team. Last year's Mr. Irrelevant.
I think it was the Jets last year, by the way. I think it was the Jets that had that pick.
The Jets had Mr. Irrelevant last year?
I think. Mm.
But 2 years ago was the Rams.
But who was it?
Then you had 3 years ago, you had Brock Purdy as well in that situation. I think it was Jaden Key. It was like a safety for the Jets. I think they wanted Mr. Irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And then DeSwan Johnson for the Rams was the year before who actually gets some playing time. But Jalen Key, I think, was Mr. Relevant last year for the Jets. And he's already with the Bengals. He's with your Bengals now on their
Well, anybody can play defense
squad.
There. So
relax.
Anybody can get an opportunity to play some defense.
But Johnson still plays for the Rams. You know, he's still, you know, out of Toledo, Matt guy.
Relax.
Three career sacks already for Mr. Relevant. 2 years ago.
Do you actually think Mykal Williams is going to be available at 31? Bink?
No.
I don't either.
I'm not buying it. Although weird things happen. It's like Jalen Carter. A lot of Jalen Carter talk, you know, in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. He went
What's
ninth.
His driving record, this Mykal Williams kid?
He went ninth,
but
everybody
was
saying...
The text line wants to know as well.
What's that?
The text line, I don't know if you saw the texters.
No, I'm not even trying to be a smartass.
The text line was
What's the driving...
Well.
Georgia has had multiple play, not just three, like
Correct.
As in seven or eight players.
Well, his arms are extremely long. He's got like 34,
like 20,
over 34 inch arms.
People get... In those incidents.
Yeah, check the motor vehicle reports out of Georgia, please, before we draft anybody.
Well, the one thing is like Jalen Carter, right? Everybody, he was looked upon as being the first pick in the draft. Then all of a sudden, the character concerns about the driving and stuff at Georgia, he slipped all the way to ninth. And I remember that old time saying, there's going to be eight teams here going, we just passed on the next Chris Jones, Aaron Donald. We were passing on that guy. And then the Eagles go and get him, which was a great pick by Roseman.
All right, up next, we're going to get to what's trending, and then let's get right back into opening day, where we're at after one game. Some observations, some that don't matter all season, and some that are very fair to talk about for the rest of the year. That's coming up next right here on
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody and Gold.